This past spring, on my day off, Felix and I would often work together to clean the house. You see, this past spring, Kara was working full-time as a maternity sub for our own Hannah Eisenberg. And with her out and around and me doing church stuff, just everything got cluttered, so I would take time on my day off, and Felix and I, we would work together to clean up the house. And that first day, I said, Felix, all right, this is the plan. I'm going to work on stuff downstairs. I'll take care of the floors and pick things up. Why don't you get started up in your room? And then, after we've got everything picked up, because he was obviously not excited about cleaning the house, no kid is, you know, I said, after everything's picked up, then we can play video games. And he was excited about that chance. So up he went to his room, and I went to work cleaning things around the house. And after about a half hour or so, I noticed I hadn't heard anything from Felix, which is rare. Like, and so after I finished up what I was working on, I headed upstairs, and I stuck my head in his room, and goo! I mean, there was just stuff everywhere. I was a young boy once myself. I should understand how it works, but I do not understand how little boys' rooms work, because there was stuff everywhere. There were clothes strewn about and hanging out of drawers, and there was matchbox cars everywhere, and there was pillows and blankets and stuffed animals, and there was piles of books, and there was rock collection, and there were all sorts of other toys just like strewn about. It was overwhelming, and that's what had happened to Felix. I said, hey, buddy, well, this room's a mess. What have you been doing for the past, you know, half hour? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. You know, there was so much to do. There was so much mess everywhere. It was just overwhelming for him. And he didn't know what to do. And I share that with you this morning because in some ways I feel like that is a feeling that a lot of believers have when we look out into the broken, fallen world around us. I mean, we look out there and we know we want to make a difference for the kingdom of God, but you look out there and, I mean, you see like tensions with China and war in Russia and grain shortages and you know, recessions and deaths and murders on the news and political gridlock and fighting about everything and all these things, like, just, it's overwhelming. Like, we know God surely wants us to do something about it, but, like, where, how do you even start with a world that is so broken and so fallen, and it is so overwhelming? Well, that's what we're going to take some time and talk about together this morning. Where to start? Where to start in making a difference in this broken fallen world. And the best place to go for any such answers is always to start right here in the Word of God, which is just what we're going to be doing together this morning as we continue our summer in the Psalms this morning in Psalm 141. This morning we're going to be studying together in Psalm 141. I'd invite you to turn there with me if you've got your Bible with you. If not, bring it up in the app so you can follow along. We're going to work through Psalm 141. Then we're going to talk about what David has to teach us about making a difference in this broken, fallen world. Psalm 141 is a psalm of David. He writes, O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. Yet my prayer is ever against the deeds of evildoers. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs. And the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the traps set by evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I pass by in safety. These are David's words in Psalm 141. And one of the unique things about Psalm 141 is the context of the psalm. And this psalm is unique in that it has a more generalized context. And what I mean is this. There are some psalms here that are written like in terms of a very specific place, a very specific time, a very specific situation. You know, Psalm, when David was hiding from Saul in a cave, you've got Psalm 59. When David was on the run from Absalom, you've got Psalm 3. When David was, when they were preparing to dedicate the temple, Psalm 30 was written for just such an occasion. But this psalm is much more general. David is obviously praying for the Lord's help in light of this broken, fallen world. Lord, hear my voice. May you come and help me and support me. May my prayer be lifted up to you like incense, like the evening sacrifice. And in all likelihood, what this psalm was a psalm that David, instead of praying like in a specific time at a specific place, was one that David prayed regularly. In fact, historically, the psalm was read and used during the evening sacrifice daily. So this is more of a daily psalm that David would pray, lift up before the Lord, as he sought God's help just in light of this broken, fallen world around him. Now, before we get into the context of what the content of what David was praying for and going before the Lord about, it is worth noting this, that David talks about praying before the Lord and coming before him, and he mentions, may my prayer be set before you like incense, may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Just wanted to touch on this briefly because that's not generally the way we pray here at Grace Bible Church. We are conservative evangelical Midwesterners. You know what that means? This is the posture of our prayer. Hands at the side, eyes closed. Like that's just how we do it. If we're, sometimes we will clasp our hands. And if we're really crazy, if it's like a special occasion and someone brings it up, we will hold hands around the table. But that's about as high as our hands ever seem to get when we are praying. And I don't bring this up to say we are praying wrong or anything like that. I think this is descriptive. This is telling us how David was praying, not prescriptive, telling us how we have to pray. But when we do come across godly people and the scriptures doing things different than us, it's a helpful reminder for us that, you know, there's more than one way to do these things. And if you should pray with your hands raised high, it's not an inherent distraction to those around you. It's not inherently wrong or doesn't necessarily tie into any belief in terms of charismatic gifts or things like that. David was praying this way, you know, thousands of years before any of that came up. When people choose to praise with their hands lifted high, it's a way of saying, Lord, all I have to offer you is this humble prayer. But my hands are lifted up awaiting whatever you have to give to me in response, and I wait and trust in you, O Lord. That was David's attitude. That's how David prayed this psalm even before the Lord. So now let's come back and let's talk about what he was praying. Let's talk about how he was entreating the Lord for help in the midst of this broken, fallen world. And it's very interesting. We would expect David to start praying against enemies and praying against this and that, but David starts small. David starts small and asks God to guard against the sinfulness that he brings into this broken, fallen world. David's going to pray, first and foremost, that God would guard about the sinfulness that he brings into this broken, fallen world. He's going to start with what he can control. He's going to start with what he can do. And that's a good reminder. Listen, when Felix and I were working on his room, and he was overwhelmed with all these things, I said, well, Felix, what's something you can do? What's something we can work on together? What's something doable? So we started with just picking up his cars. Pick up your cars, put them in the bucket. It's something small, it's something easy, something you can do and wrap your head around. Let's start there. David has the same approach as he goes before the Lord. He says, Lord, there's a broken, fallen world out there that desperately needs your help. And he prays about that in the psalm. But David understands that there's millions, billions of people out there in this world all putting sin into it. And he can't control them. He can't make them do one thing or another. But you know what? There is one person that David can control. There is one thing that David can do. David can make a difference directly in his own life. And so he prays at length that God would guard against the sin that he, David, brings into this broken, fallen world. We see this in verses 3-5. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Watch over the doors of my lips. This is thousands of years before James would write, you know, the tongue is a fire that is set ablaze by hell itself. But David knew the truth of it. David knows that if we're talking about the sin we put into the world, our lips, our actions, our words are probably one of the biggest, most prominent things that we do, that we fall into, of the sins that we fall victim and prey to as believers. It just gets the best of us time and time again. So David prays, Lord, guard my lips. Watch over the door of my mouth. It's when somebody at work is talking politics, and they love to talk politics, and they're going on, and their position on things is very different than yours. Lord, guard my lips. It's what happens when, you know, a friend from high school posts something on social media about vaccines and the monkeypox stuff that's going around, and their position on it is very different than your own, and there's a temptation, right? Lord, guard my lips. Lord, watch over the doors of my mouth. And it's not just out there with others, it's even in our own homes. Next week, when you're getting everybody ready to go back to school, and you've talked to the kids 7 times about, do you have your backpack ready? Do you have everything together? Do you have your clothes laid out? And they say, yes, yes. And you ask them the night before, yes, yes. The morning comes. All right, everybody, we've got a busy morning. We're going to get everybody where they need to be. Let's go. Where's my backpack? Lord, guard the lips of my mouth. Like, you've all been there before. It's so easy to just dive in, to just unleash, and it's not godly, it's not good, it's not honorable. It's putting more sin into this broken, fallen world. We are a part of it. Our lips, our words as believers are a part of it. But it's something we can have control over. So David prays, Lord, guard my lips. David continues on, he says, Lord, guard my heart. We see this in verse 4. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. David understands this. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks, and that ultimately it is his heart that gets him into trouble. And here's the thing. Satan knows that if he can get our hearts to want the things of the world, to desire the things of the world, to want to be like the world, then he's already got us halfway there. Then it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to get us to actually sin and pursue those things. In fact, the battle is waged in our hearts, probably more so even than with our hands and lips. And so David is praying, Lord, guard my heart even more so. Don't let me want the things of the world. Don't let me desire the things of the world. Don't let me want to be like the people in the world, and yet it is most certainly there. It's what happens when there's those girls at school that dress in a certain way, that present themselves in a certain way that gets a lot of attention from everybody. And not only do they get attention at school, but when they post pictures of themselves on social media and TikTok and all those things, they get lots of likes and followers there. And there can be a part of us that says, Lord, well, we're not praying to the Lord about this. We're saying to ourselves, I want that. I want to be praised in that way. I want to have that attention that they have. That is exactly what we need to guard against. Lord, guard my heart. Lord, don't let me eat of the world's delicacies. I love how David puts that. There's this buffet of sin out there that the world is enjoying. And we see them enjoying it. And there's part of us that says, I kind of want to try it. It's like me at Pizza Ranch. I know I'm going to regret it, but I still kind of want to try it. Like, that's what happens with sin. You're watching a talking head on TV or on YouTube, and they just unleash on somebody. They just tear them up one side and down the other. Are they quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry? No, this is not like what Jesus is modeling for us. But yet at the same time, sometimes there's something in our heart that says, I'd kind of like to just be able to let loose like that. I'd kind of like to just be able to lay into somebody like that, especially somebody that I disagree with, especially someone that said hurtful things about me, and that way I would like to be able to do that. That's not God. That's the world's buffet set out before you, and Satan's just trying to get you to reach out for those delicacies. It's what happens when you're heading into your sunset years and you're preparing for retirement, and you've got friends that have retired and they are very, very well off financially. That's not how God has provided for you, not in that same way by any means, but there's a part of you, and you would never say it this way, but if you played it out, it would kind of work out this way, where you'd say, I want to have what they have. And what you mean by that is, I want to have enough so that I don't need to rely on God anymore. I want to have enough so I can rely on my stuff and my things and never have to worry and never have to turn to God anymore. That's what I would like. And, Lord, guard my heart against that materialism, against those desires to have, to see, to live the way of the world. David understands that that's a temptation that all believers face. And so first he prays, Lord, guard my lips. And then he prays, Lord, guard my heart. But David doesn't stop there. Then David prays something really dangerous. David prays something really scary. I mean, you can pray this if you'd like. We'll talk about it. But he says, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. David has been praying, Lord, guard against the sin I bring into this world, right? My mouth, my heart. And ultimately, he's saying here, Lord, if there is some sin that I don't know about, some sin that I am falling into, some sin that I am committing, Lord, he prays, hit me in the face with it. That's what he prays. Lord, hit me in the face. Lord, make sure I know. Don't hide it. Don't be subtle. Lord, just hit me with it. Let a righteous man strike me. And then he says this, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil to my head. It will be a blessing to me, Lord, if they confront me with my sin and bring it to mind. That's how committed David is to guarding against the sin he brings into this world. He would pray, Lord, if there is sin in my life, hit me with it right in the face. And a lot of believers, I feel like there's like tough-talking believers that say like, yeah, like I just want people to give it to me, to lay it into me, just let me have it. Listen, nobody really believes that. And I can say this with assurance because let me just put it this way. If your wife or your husband ever says to you, hey, dear, we need to talk, nobody's happy about that. If your kids were to say to you, we need to talk. If your employer says to you, we need to talk. If your teacher says to you, we need to talk. There's not a person around that says, oh good, I hope some of my sin is brought to light so that I can address it. Even though it's always a bad thing that we've done when it's we need to talk. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. I understand that. Listen, I would have a hard time praying this, but David, a man after God's own heart, that's how committed he is. And he's praying, Lord, if there is sin out there that I don't know about, make me aware of it. And if you are brave enough, you can pray that same prayer. And I believe God will answer it, but you best be ready because it may be coming right at you. And I love David's attitude. He says, don't let me have that knee-jerk reaction. Don't let me get defensive. Don't let me fight against it. That's usually what we do if someone confronts us with our sin. We try and tear them down so their criticism or the sin they see in us seems less because they're a sinful person. He says, Lord, let me see it as a kindness. Let me see it as oil upon my head, Lord. Guard against the sin that I bring into the world. That's what David prays in these opening verses of Psalm 141. But again, this is David's response to the broken, fallen world around us. And there's sin he brings into the world, but there's also lots of other sin out there. And so David is going to ask that God would hold the world accountable for the sinfulness they bring into it as well. He asks that, you know, he would guard against him and hold him accountable, but also, Lord, the world. We see this in verses 5 to 7. He says, yet my prayer is ever against the deeds of evildoers. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs. He's praying against those wrong things in the world. And there's nothing wrong. It's a godly thing to do to be praying against, you know, the situations with Putin or in the Kim Jong-uns and ills out there and praying against, you know, the political gridlock and the corruption that's there on both sides of the aisle in our political system. And it's good and righteous for godly people to be praying about those things because I know it's overwhelming that you and I, we can't change that on our own. We're not big enough, we're not strong enough, we're not powerful enough. But God is. God is big enough to move if he so desires. God is powerful enough, God is capable enough, so it is right and good for believers to lift those things, those struggles, those broken things in this world up before the Lord, just like David does. My prayer is ever against the deeds of evildoers. May our prayers ever be against the broken, fallen world around us and the sin that fills it. But it is interesting. David doesn't stop there. David, believe it or not, comes back around to himself and his response to the brokenness. He's got this start small attitude that shows up again. He says, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. And that term well spoken, it's worth taking just a moment to think about and wrestle with. When I read it initially, I thought, like I think, because I'm an engineer. I got that background. So when I think well spoken, I think David's praying, may I have a well outlined argument so I can beat them if it should come up and I can kind of put them in their place and I can tell them this and that. You know, may I present my argument for why they are wrong and broken and fallen well. But that's not what this term means in the Hebrew. This means something very different that's, I think, even more important for us today. These words, for well-spoken, it means sweet. It means pleasant. May they learn that my words are sweet and pleasant. So they will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. David is saying this, in my disagreements, in my interactions with this broken, fallen world, may I be salt and light. May I speak the truth and love so that, Lord, when you work in those lives of the broken, because he believes he will, that they will say, my life was hard-packed soil. The Lord had to do some deep plowing in my life. I'm like bones on the verge of falling into the grave, but God is good. And I am going to trust in him. And that David, he was a positive witness before me. He had sweet, pleasant words that now I see the truth of. Because I think we've all seen it. We all know it. You know, sometimes you get so upset, so angry, so frustrated with this broken, fallen world that people just kind of lay into them, that they tear them up one side and down the other so much that if they do see the light of day, if God is working at their hearts, they still don't want to respond because they know what the people on the other side were like, and they don't want to be like that. Mean, angry, bitter, that should not be us. We live in a world, and you've seen it the same as I have, where it seems like we got two sides that are getting pushed further and further apart. And instead of kindness and love, it's angerness, bitterness, and resentment from one side to the other. And the only way to defeat the other side is to tear them down, to attack them. We talk about it as a culture war. When there is war, you got to kill the other side to survive. And that's been our approach. That's the approach of the world, just people lobbing stuff back and forth. Where's truth and love? Where's kindness? Where's the response that Jesus would have had? I don't see it out there very much anymore. Have we forgotten the words of Ezekiel 33:11? This is what God says. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. God says, I don't want the other side to die. I want the other side to turn to me and live. And do we have that attitude? Do we want them to die and just be done and be gone and be done away with? Or do we show truth? Do we speak truth and love? Are we salt and light? Do we have pleasant and well-spoken words? That's what we are called to. That's what David prays for. But that's something that is, I think, lacking in all of us these days. But David understands the truth of it. If we're talking about this broken, fallen world, we can pray against the world, but that's God's place to deal with them. Our calling is to have well-spoken, sweet and pleasant words, to be salt and light, to speak the truth in love. I like how Paul puts it in Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. The temptation there is not to be tempted to sin the same way as them. The temptation is to go out guns blazing, to just drop truth bombs on them, to tear them up one side and down the other. That's the temptation, and that's why Paul says, no, that's not what we're called to do. Restore him gently. Show love, show kindness, even in the face of this broken, fallen world. And then David concludes, ultimately praying that his eyes would be fixed on God, rather than this broken, fallen world. David prays that God would guard against the sin he brings into the world. He asks that he would keep this broken, fallen world accountable. But ultimately, David prays that his eyes would be focused on God rather than this broken, fallen world. We see this in verses 8 through 10. But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the traps set by evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. David says, Lord, I know that you are sovereign. You are good. You will control what happens to them. You will control what happens to me. So he says, Lord, may my eyes be fixed on you. May my eyes be fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. Here's just a question. Where are your eyes fixed most of the time? Listen, I know the temptation. I know what it's like. There's so much brokenness. There's so much fallenness. This world is a hot mess, and it's like watching a train wreck that you can't look away from. You can put on the news, or you start to scroll through the news feed on your phone, and it's just bad thing after bad thing. After bad things. They've got a name for it. It's called doom scrolling. You just go through all the bad things that are happening in this world. Let me ask you this. Do you spend more time with your eyes fixed on all the wrong things in this world or with your eyes fixed on God? If we talked about how much time you spend in prayer, in His Word, meditating on God, talking to Him, and we talk about how much time you spend looking at the news, being upset about all the bad things, scrolling through your newsfeed, which do you think wins out? Which has more time? Which has more attention? Which has more focus of your life? God or the broken, fallen world around us? I think for most of us, it's sad to say, it's not God. God maybe gets an hour or two a week, but this world, we'll spend half our day complaining about this broken, fallen world. David's got a different perspective. David says, may my eyes be fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. May our eyes be fixed on the Lord. May our focus be Him rather than all this brokenness around us. And here we have David's approach to making a difference in this broken, fallen world, where to start. And it's not with God punishing all of the world. He does pray that. But he starts very small. He starts with himself, with the difference that he can make. He prays that the Lord would guard his own heart, his own lips, his own actions in this world, and guard against the sin there. He prays that in response to this broken, fallen world, that David would even help him to have sweet and well-spoken words. And he prays that in the midst of it, that his eyes would not be pulled into this world, but his eyes would be fixed on God. David's just one person. But, you know, it is amazing. A bunch of small people making small changes can add up to a big difference. That's how it worked in Felix's room. Right? We started with one small project, then another, then another, then another. And before we knew it, we were done. This overwhelming problem, we'd made a difference. What do you think this place would be like if even here at Grace Bible Church, 100 people said, I'm going to pray that God would guard my mouth, that God would guard my heart, that I'm not going to fall into the ways of the world, that I'm going to speak truth and love, I'm going to be salt and light. Wouldn't this be a better place than it already is? And wouldn't our community, wouldn't our workplaces be better places? And what if all the believers in Washington were really willing to live like this? Wouldn't this be an even better place to live? It starts small, but small changes can add up to big ones in our lives, in our community, in the world. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we confess, Lord, that oftentimes in the face of just this broken, fallen world, we get caught up in the brokenness. Lord, and sometimes our hearts even want to be a part of the brokenness. We want to partake in the delights of this world. Forgive us. Help us. Strengthen us. Lord, as individuals, guard against the sin that we bring into this world. Lord, guard our lips, guard our hearts. If there are any that should be so brave to be open to it, Lord, would you even make us aware of the sins that we don't know about, we don't think about, even in this week ahead, Lord, so that we can address them as well. Help us and strengthen us, Lord, in the face of this world, to not sink to their level, but to continue to model as Jesus himself did, speaking the truth in love. And Lord, through it all, may our eyes and hearts not be caught up in the brokenness and the darkness of this world, but may they be fixed on you and your wonderful light. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.